Well, since we have been off for a little bit here, we're going back into our teaching. And so good today, really, we're starting focusing on a specific a new area and teaching on some things. We've been taking subjects from the John's letters to the church, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and really been sort of doing specific subjects that John talked about. And then we look them into other areas of the scriptures to see others that said about it. What we're really looking at is a lot of foundational things of the Word of God. And we were talking the last time, we had been teaching on God being life and God being light. And looking into those areas, we're going to start today and look in the area, because the Bible says God is love. John made a number of mentions concerning the love of God. And we want to look at things that the Bible says about the love of God. We're going to go through those. And we need to understand this when the Bible uses a term and says God is something. Understanding what that means, the Bible is just like God is love. And just from a little grammar standpoint, the word is, and maybe it could be a good chance that Bill Clinton will hear this message and he'll know what the word is means. And he said, it depends what the word is means. It depends what it means. Well, we got is here. We're going to tell him what is, and he won't have any more problem with that to find out that, he lied and he knew it. And the word is just used as a link to connect the subject with its predicate adjective. In other words, it connects whatever it is, the adjective, whatever is explained, it connects it to that, like here with God is love, it connects it to God, who is talking about him, and it tells us what this, he is this. It's important it's used from that standpoint, because like if we had a person who was tall and they'd say like so-and-so is tall, that would describe something that person is. Now, in other words, that's really about them, what they are. We could deal with things about like say a person's character or something like that, and they might have certain character about themselves or things. Things like that could be changed, but we're dealing with things like it says God is or he is this. See, like if we'd say, just like Josh is tall. Well, Josh could be, anything else. Things that are changeable about him could be changed, but that doesn't make, he's still tall. he's just tall. That's the way it is. Whatever his weight is, whatever his personality is, whether his personality changes, Josh is tall, unless they're going to cut some inches off of him. I don't think he's going to be allowing that anytime shortly. And and we need to understand about God. This is what God is. And so there's so many things that are stated. If we went from a scriptural standpoint, how much is stated about what God is? The Bible says that God is light, he's love, he's life. He's righteous, he's just, he is holy, he's good. So, the Bible says God is merciful. He's gracious. He's kind. It says God is all knowledge. He's all present, and all that. So you look at all the things. It says, this is what he is. And really, it starts to give us a picture. These are things and qualities of him that are unchangeable things. This is what he is. Sometimes people look at God has light. No, God is light. God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. That's what he is. And it'll change things because, most of the times people deal with things today, like you'd say love, like one person loves another. Well, most people, they would have to use it from the standpoint they have love. They would never say they are love because they'll quit loving somebody really quick. So it isn't something they are. But now we're different because the scripture tells us, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's something that's already, love is part of our nature. It's by the Holy Spirit. You were born again by the Holy Spirit. Your nature is to love. That's the nature of the new birth, is to love. It isn't something that we're trying to get. As I found that out when I got born again, is one of the things that really shocked me about being born again was I was not a giver. I was not a person to just be a giver. Generally just to, hey, I want to give something away. I would do things for maybe certain people, sometimes people you really like around and trust you do for. But never. When I got saved, it just shocked me. I wanted to give things. I wanted stuff. And I thought, That was really a shock to me because it was so different from my nature to do that. I mean, I was just like, I never quite understood Christians that had a hard time about giving. I never quite understood that. I never could figure it out because I thought, well, we got some kind of different natures or something, because, man, that's the way I was when I was a sinner. And I found myself, hey, I wanted to do that. I wanted to give away something. I'll never, you know, Wanda, yeah, probably one of the greatest shocks she ever heard out of me when I was said I wanted to tithe. I'll never forget Wanda looked at me like, where are you at? She probably, you know, thought, man, we got to, you know, this is one of those alien movies where they come and take over a person's body. Ed's gone. It's gone with this guy from another planet. But it is. But see, the nature, but that's what God is, you know, and we're born after that nature. And learning to understand that nature of God, the nature to love, is really a different thing. In 1 John, we had read in the 4th chapter, verse 12, says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. So, really, love perfected, and we're not talking about being, we think about from the area of, which we need to be very careful about ourselves, because we talk about, it says love perfected, in other words, perfect love. You know, love is where you walk by faith. You can't walk by feelings in love. Oh, boy. You know, you can literally, people don't realize, if people can't learn to disassociate with how they feel about something and really what's going on in their heart, they'll always have a difficult time as a Christian dealing with things with people, do you wrong and do stuff, is learning. People would hurt your feelings. The Bible never said your feelings wouldn't get hurt. You hurt feelings, you get hurt about things. But you know what? That is normal for us. That wouldn't be something weird. You know? Could you imagine if we were emotionless people? No emotion. You know, even a Christian, I remember when I first got saved, people started getting over into extreme over there, like you weren't supposed to feel anything. Like I remember, big name ministers teaching, you know, if a loved one dies, you know, you should never cry about a loved one dying who's saved or anything. You miss somebody. There's one thing you learn about. Death is an enemy. You know, as long as the death's in this earth, it makes me mad. And it, God never wanted us to die and go through all this misery and all this stuff. That was never God's plan. It ought to bug us that the thief's killing and stealing and destroying. We're not called to be emotionless. If your emotions are used properly, they'll help you in your faith and your walk. If emotions are used properly, it's just like in life. If a person walks and learns to control their emotion and use it properly, it's a great help for them in life. Now, most people use it wrong. They get into extremes of emotion, extremes of things, and they're over here worrying about what they don't need to worry about and what they should have a great concern in. They have no concern in. And so, you see, you have all this weird stuff. But used rightly, there's nothing wrong with emotion, and our emotion can really help us. And really, because one of the things that I went through starting a church is one of the things that I look through because of my personal, the way I am, the way I think, my personality and stuff. And I couldn't see myself as pastoring a church. I couldn't see myself as that. I just, because of what I was told about things. And the Lord spoke to me one day, and he said, I know exactly what you are and what you're like, and that's exactly why I chose you and put you where you're at. He said, they need you. You know, you know what? Our area don't need another guy carrying a sheep walking barefooted. That's the last thing they need. You know? It bugs me to see these ministers that are just so passive while their people are being destroyed. Everything's going down the tube. Look at this really nice guy. Take him out in the parking lot and shoot him. Bury him out there. Dear God, get somebody there to say, help us get those people. You know, dear Lord, get them delivered. Poor people are going under. And we don't need another passive. And you know, the whole thing of it is, Jesus wasn't passive. He went to the temple and he got a win. He wasn't passive. Yet there's times he almost seemed that. And I think, you know, when it came down to his death and stuff like that, he was passive. See, it was one thing for what they were doing to him, and it was another thing for what they were doing to others. See, everybody else got this mixed up. It's all about what you're doing to me and what you're doing to the other guy. I don't care. imagine living in a nation? What if the people in the Second World War and our people in our land were passive and got attacked and nobody wanted to go to war and fight? What if everybody's passive? Oh, well, just happened. Thank God they weren't all Mennonites. Hallelujah. My God, we'd be part of Nazi Germany and Japan today. Thank God. I don't care if somebody hears it on a tape. I mean, thank God. I thank God they weren't. Thank God somebody had some spunk and said, hey, you ain't doing that to us. You know, as people went off and died, they didn't die for themselves. They died so others wouldn't have to go. They did it because it was the right thing to do to our nation. I mean, look how many young men and women went out and died. Amazing. But you see that. It is happening. So don't ever think, when we think about the love of God and think about these things, you know, don't think of God as being sort of this emotionalist guy. You know, sometimes people get sort of, I think, associate God with being like that. And if I'm going to walk in love, I'm not going to, you know, sort of. No, we still have emotions. God put these things in us. We were created with them. Think about it. We were. So it's nothing weird that you would have emotion. I would think, you know, I'll tell you what, you know, I've never met anybody that didn't have emotions. Something was wrong with them mentally. And usually end up in a mental institution somewhere. You go into mental institutions, you'll find people have no emotion sitting there. You know what? They can't live out there in life with everybody else. That's not normal. So we don't want to go there, okay? So there's nothing wrong with the fact we all have personality and stuff like this. We can learn about God and God's personality. We see things from a scriptural standpoint that though God is love, it doesn't mean God gets angry. The Bible talks about God pouring out his wrath. So we have to change the way we think. Now, one thing, God's very long-suffering. You know, because that's one of the things that people don't understand about the quality of God. God is very long-suffering. He's long-suffering. It is amazing. He's been waiting now for 4,000 years for people to accept Jesus. He has waited generation after generation of human, giving people opportunity to change, waiting. But see, men think because of his patience, he's not going to do anything. They don't realize that's not true. What it says he would do concerning his wrath, he will do. And we have to remember that just because, you know, Kenneth Hagin used to talk to us about it. In fact, we were taught it in Rhema. They used to talk about the fact that how men in ministry and stuff messed up, that they thought because they were involved in certain things that weren't right, that God didn't deal with them right away on it or anything like that, that they were getting away with it. And after a while, they got the idea that, well, see, I'm in this special ministry and God uses me really powerfully. And so then I'm not held at the same standard other people are. See, they thought because they were getting away with it, but eventually judgment came on them. Many of them died prematurely and things and that stuff. And it was happened to them because God is really merciful and he's long-suffering. But it says he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. I mean, just think about in our land, all the moves of God that we have had since back in the 1900s, the whole way up through the different revivals in America, and America is still standing today. It blows my mind what America's doing, and I look at God. You talk about long-suffering? My God! All he's done in his graciousness in this land, and today, government and all of them act like he don't exist. And doing all kind of heathenistic things. And it's like, I was reading an article yesterday from Franklin Graham, you know, Billy Graham's son, and a message he just preached, and they actually had it on, you could go over a link on it off a news link because of things he said about America. And you went down and, I mean, he said all these things and they weren't pretty about America. And he talked about the words, America's in trouble. And he said all these different things. He didn't say it to be ugly. He says, hey, you know, the churches and the government's way off base. We're saying all these things. If this is what God's going to do, it's going to happen. But see, there's many out of preaching. No, see, he just loves everybody, and it's never going to happen. Man, he is. I mean, he's so long-suffering. He's merciful. So we found here, John said, nobody has seen God, so we haven't seen him physically. He said, but how do we tell? How do we know? How do you know God's alive? Well, one reason, and that's why I got over this whole thing of talk about love and the change that love brought in me. I knew God was alive because God put a love in me. He made something I wasn't. I became something that I wasn't. You know, it's just the fact. Did you ever think about the fact that you have a hunger for the Word of God? The fact that you like the Word of God. That's not natural, folks. that people need to understand that just the fact that you have that shows something, that you have a desire to find out about God. You have a desire to understand God. That's not an unsaved person's nature. It's definitely. I can swear to that one. No, it's why it is. But you know, there's only one reason you do, is because of the love of God. That's the only reason. That's it. God's invisible, but there's proofs that we know that make us aware of that God is real and He loves. He loves. It's the fact that God reveals Himself to people is the fact that He loves people, that He was revealing to people who He is and what He is. He's revealing about His nature, what He's like. We may not see anything of Him physically. So, Colossians 1:15 says concerning Jesus that He's the image of the invisible God. He was the firstborn over all creation. So, Jesus Christ, when you look at Jesus was not from a physical image, from the standpoint of how He looked and how He dressed, He was like God. His image was in His character. You look at Jesus' ministry, Jesus said He didn't say anything that God didn't say, or He didn't do anything that God didn't do. So in other words, you look at Jesus, when we look at Jesus' ministry, look at how Jesus' action toward people and things like that. You can learn some things about Jesus. You know, did you ever notice that Jesus toward the common people never really railed at them or said and really talked bad about them? But now the religious people, when they would come against Him, he was right out just blatant toward them. And that is one of the things that we need to understand about. See, the people, many of the common everyday people, were ignorant a lot of things about the Word. In fact, the Word was kept pretty much from them because of the religious people. Like in Jesus' day when He came, the common person out there, most of them were poor. Most of them, from the standpoint, the religious leaders didn't think, basically they looked like they're all going to hell, we're the great guys. Reason you're out here and you're poor is because you're not great like us. And the whole thing of it was, is Jesus talked about why they had what they had. They were robbing and cheating. They were stealing from the orphan and the widow. Jesus said, this is why you guys got what you got. You don't have what you have. You've been robbing from them. That's why they're in the condition they're in. You're a thief. So, but Jesus would talk very, pointed to them. And as today, it's one thing, if we're dealing with people, we should look in the same light. If you have people that are ignorant, I've watched people get all upset at an individual didn't understand about healing. And I said to him, I said, well, don't you believe the Bible? I said, well, why do you believe it? Did you just all of a sudden start believing it one day? And all of a sudden, no, you were taught it. Somebody started teaching you about what the Word of God says. You had to be taught. And I said, they aren't taught. I said, they may have sat in a church for years, and at the time they were a little kid and told that ain't for you, that's not yours. And I said, you have to be able to look at that person and say, well, hey, they're ignorant of some things. You have to watch how you deal with a person like that. And some of them are disingenuous, but many of them aren't. They just ain't got a clue. Oh, it's running out. They just don't have a clue. They just don't know. And we need to be careful of how, we deal with it. So Jesus dealt with it. But we get over religious people. If I get around religious people that take advantage of other people, it's like with me. I hate to see these ministers that take advantage of people concerning money. So sometimes I have a hard time watching television ministries because I watch things that they say and do about money and using manipulation to get money out of people. That bugs me. I've been taught well enough to know a crook when I see one. But many people don't, And these guys are telling, God will heal you if you send us $1,000, And God told me, if you send me $1,000, He'd heal. That's all false and absolute lies, 100%. You can't buy your healing. In fact, the Lord told Kenneth Hagin, when you minister to people and they get healed, don't accept money from them other than like people give money in an offering. But because he said, people are so, when something good like that happens, he said, somebody, the Lord told him, he said, somebody's child gets healed. He said, they'd almost give you anything under the sun. He said, don't do that. You keep yourself away from that. Because, one of the reasons is, they really feel good about doing that. But they're really doing what they're doing out of ignorance and not out of faith. They're just, it's a very appreciation. There's nothing matter doing something for somebody you appreciate. But in a sense, many times people are trying to pay for what they got. They just feel that they have to. And you got to watch, religion can use that on people. Religion can very well take those things and use them on people and really take people across. And we're dealing with God. So we look at the ministry of Jesus. See how Jesus worked and acted. You know, Jesus was a real person. He did have emotion, didn't he? He had emotion. He had compassion. I mean, the Bible says he looked on people, he had compassion. I mean, can you imagine the compassion of a guy who has leprosy? It's contagious. And he goes over and touches the guy. I'm going to tell you what, that's a compassion towards somebody, a love toward an individual. It's the fact of it is, you know, it's not the care about his own self is to bless somebody else. See, it's really an area of faith. I learned that area of faith in listening to Kenneth Hagin. I didn't have to fear or be afraid about, you know, getting around things. When you're blessing people and ministering to people or helping people, you don't have to be concerned about it. God will take care of you. He'll look after you. That's always a wonderful thing to know. God will be looking after you. So look in what God is. We can look at the image of Jesus. Now, in 1 John again, in the 4th chapter. Now, we had read before that 1 verse 12, but if you put the whole thing in here in its context, in 1 John 4th chapter, starting at verse 8, he said, "He who does not love does not know God, for God's love." He has no God. So you want to understand how God loves. You want to understand, it's an important thing to understand about God's long-suffering, His mercy and stuff like that. Because, you know, here's one thing that I have found with individuals, that some people have real faith problems because of not understanding long-suffering and mercy. They don't respond to other people for have long-suffering or, you know, being merciful. They easily hold things against them. Why don't you strap up? But you didn't realize they do that to themselves. And they have a hard time seeing God being compassionate or merciful to them. They have a long time, hard time seeing Him be long-suffering. They think He's always holding something against them. You know, well, I messed up, and now, you know. So you have to be very careful, and that's why is if you don't know love, he said, you don't know love, you don't know God. God's love, and He says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God had sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. It says, in this love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation. Now that word propitiation is where the word it would be used in terms of sin offering. He was a sin offering for us. He says, for our sin. He said, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And so He says, one of the things that you want to get over to, He says in verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. See, what's one of the reasons areas of walking in love and understanding love? Because then if you do, you'll understand the fact that God's in you. See, if people get out here and get out of line of the Word of God in these areas, what happens to them? And you'll see many people do this. Over time, they lose the consciousness of God in them. Because what happens, you get over and they're not following. And after a while, you know, well, man, am I really saved? Things get out here, and after a while, they don't live in the consciousness of who and what they are. Well, they can't maintain their faith. They don't maintain any confidence in God. Faith is always dealing with the areas of confidence. If a person doesn't have a confidence toward God, you're not going anywhere with it from the faith standpoint. It'll never work. And God wants you to have a confidence in Him. And love is one of the things that really helps us hold a confidence in God. You understand His love. You understand God's love towards you. Now, in verse 14 of that chapter says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Now listen, he said, we've known it. You see what he says in there? We've known and believed. You know, we talk about, you know, the one song we sing in church, one of the songs in the one verse says, we have seen and we believe but it's by faith that we receive. You know, seeing something, or you know, a person watches a miracle take place, a person can believe. It'll cause it. If now people say, no, he says believing is by faith. No, receiving is by faith. Many things can cause you to believe. If it only required the word to have you believe, that believe something, then why did Jesus do all these miracles in front of people? And why does God take a guy out here, an evangelist, and give him a healing anointing, and he goes up there and heals all those people and does that thing? And he'll get out there among sinners, and the sinners will get healed like crazy. The reason he does it, God is wanting people to see how good he is, so they will believe. Then they'll listen to something. But they'll believe, hey, wow, you know, I know so-and-so over there. You know, like blind Bartimaeus, you know, people knew him. Man, this guy's a popular guy in town, changes everything. The popular guy gets healed. Jesus healed the guy who everybody knew that sat by the temple all that time. And it's like, whoa. You think that changed some people's believing? Changed the way that they believe? Yeah, this is no shoddy miracle. We don't know who this guy is. And he says he got healed, but nobody can prove it. Don't know. Man, we know this guy's been sitting out there blind for 40 years now. And he's up running around. Believe. But now, it's by faith that we receive. In other words, if I'm going to receive something from God, then therefore I must come to faith. In other words, God becomes real to me, or I believe God's real. Now I know it's so. And I know God wants to heal because I saw him do it. He heals people. Now, for me to get it, I have to come to the place that I can receive it. And here he says, and we have known and believed the love of God, that God has for us. For God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So, in other words, we've known the love. God wants us to know his love. In other words, there's an experience about his love. It is not enough that we should just have information about God's love. In fact, that word know there has the idea of knowledge, awareness, and understanding. In other words, you could sort of read this, it said, we understand and believe the love of God. We understand that love. We comprehend it. And so that love of God. Now, understand this about this word love here that's used from this. There's different words in the New Testament. You'd have to look them up to find out. They're translated love. Because what we have in our culture, this word love, in our vernacular we have a word love, and we take every kind of form of thing that has emotion and feeling, and we put the word love there. In fact, you'll find from the Greek had five different words that are used that were translated into the word love in our Bible. But they're not all the same. There's one that's still, they're talking about love, has to deal with friendship. You know, and you go back down through and you look at the different things it says. So you have to find out what it's talking about. The word agape, which is used here, which we read that John just did, talking about love, that word is only used in relationship to God's love. If the New Testament, that's what it's used at. The word agape is always speaking of the love of God. So it's only ever used from that terminology that it's used. So, and this is dealing. So when you look through and it's talking about God's love, or how God's love is, the human love can be based on emotion, what people call love today. Like people say, well, you know, I love this person. I counseled, you know, over the years, I've counseled people getting married and stuff, doing weddings, and would always have counsel. One of the things that I always set down, and I always get the two together, and I always like the idea of what happens when... Because I startle them a bit. I ask them, why do you love that individual? And almost every time, 100% of the time, has nothing to do with the love of God. Why they love that, it's all about, well, they're nice to me and they do this and they do. That's nothing to do with true love. That doesn't have a thing to do with it. I like them because... And then I say to them, in other words, if they quit doing that, you won't love them any more. Is that correct? And they always look at you like, oh my God. Oh, where did I get myself? I open my mouth here or not? Well, sure, that's why you love them. If those are the things, well, when they stop doing that, then you're going to quit loving them. That's why people say that somebody quits or somebody says, I don't love that individual anymore. They don't understand the principles of, you know, what they, of love, of what it is. They don't comprehend it and how to maintain a love. And in other words, their love, the only way that their love can grow is if somebody does more for them. Now think about that. Whew. That's going to be a tough marriage. Think about that. If a person demands of another person to do a bunch of things for them, and if they want to love them more, that means they have to do more for them. Man, where does this thing end? Now, hey, I believe in doing things. Because like this morning, Wanda and I were out. I got up and I made Wanda breakfast and all that stuff. And Wanda said, it's your birthday, Anna, and you made me breakfast. I said, Mom, I always make you breakfast. That's what we do. I make breakfast. And I said, I cook. I said, I know it's my birthday. I said, I still made you breakfast. It don't matter. You know, but we do for one. But, you know, one other thing we do for each other and do in looking after each other. But see, one of the things that love is, I always ask people, true love is, what can I bring to this relationship? What can I do for the individual? I said, I tell people, you never told me what you're going to do for them to maintain love, true love. Are you going to be long-suffering toward them? Or are you going to, no, I'm not going to be none of that. Get over that one, bud. You know, are you going to be kind to them? Well, yeah, they're really good to me. So, you understand, dealing in the areas of love, and this is one of the things that people don't deal with. And I sit down and talk with them. I said, your first lesson. I said, look, I tell people, don't you think that's strange? I said, when Juan and I got married, I said, I was a sinner, and I said, I thought the same way, but it does bother me the fact that I've never married sinners, and I don't. And basically, I've never really had Christians sit before you got to get married and really talk about what love really is, and that bugs me. It's like, hold it. See, why do you love them? There's nothing wrong that, hey, I like it. The person's a good person. You know, with somebody that's always taking advantage of you, there's nothing wrong with that. You don't want to do that. You know, a lot of people get into troubles like that because, you know, they get married for wrong reasons, you know. Some guys want a mama and some women want a little boy to take care of. You know, and when he don't want to be a little boy anymore, she's mad and he wants her to be mama and she don't want to be mama anymore, it don't go well. Well, it is, because it's not, but it is one of the things that we do. We want to bring something to a relationship with people. Just like with God, God abiding in us, is we're like God. God brought, just think about it, God brought something to the table to us. God couldn't have loved us because there was any characteristic within us that was worthwhile. Hey, we were sinners, lost. Our nature was death. And God loved us. So it's basing on that fact. Just think of the power of God's love. Well, what would the power of my love be towards somebody else if I walked in the same way, if I didn't look at what I could get out of it? What I could bring to it. What can I bring to this situation? And that's just one thing, is this thinking is the area by love. That's one of the big things, is I can come and offer something to the situation. Now, I can be long-suffering and kind. That doesn't mean I'm going to sit here and just keep taking care of somebody and they never become responsible. Because God didn't do that with people. He's long-suffering, but eventually they had to do what's right. But what do? If I bring that nature into a relationship with a person, then therefore, you know, the chance of that relationship of amounting to something is going to be much better than if I come to a relationship of what I get out of it. And many times that's what people are looking at, is what I get out. This person makes me feel good. And I always tell people, I always smile and say to them, I'll guarantee you they're going to do things. They're going to make you feel good at all. I said, just go ask Wanda. She can tell you things it did. Didn't make her feel good at all. I've sat down and ready with people talking about divorce. And I've sat down and I'd say, you know, Wanda was a better sinner than you are a Christian. And they look at me, they're like, as I said, I was a downright heathen. And I said, you think you're talking about that you guys have problem with? Ain't nothing was like living with me. It ain't what he close in the ballpark. And she stayed with me. She never left me. I said, she had better love. I said, she had better love than you guys got. You're supposed to have the love of God. She didn't have that. She's a sinner. I said, her sinner love was better than yours. Stuff you sit here and bicker over. It's like, get over it. You know, sometimes there's things that people have to separate. Sometimes one party will not live right. I don't care how much the other one tries. Sometimes, and they will do things, and they'll do heathenistic, evil stuff. Sometimes a person has to leave. I always tell an individual, whether it be a man or a woman, one party wants to beat the other party. You get out of that relationship. You stay out there. You know, and if they say they're sorry, that don't mean you move back the next day and it's all right. No, you tell them, you go out here, live for a year or so, live right, then we'll talk about maybe we want to get back together. I've told that to many times to women. I say, don't go back there. He says he's sorry. I said, okay, you have a year to prove it. You got a year to prove sorry, but not living with me and beating me and saying sorry in between. Have we already had that happen? Oh, yeah. I say, this is where you bring it to an end. You out the door. You ain't beating me no more. And that kind of stuff. I mean, I've had so-called Christians. I had an associate pastor was beating up his wife. Stuff like that going on. It's like, what on earth? But you know what she felt? She was taught she had to stay with him no matter what. I said, man, I'd turn him over to Satan and struck this in a fest. He'd be dead tomorrow. I'd tell God, you turn him over, let the Satan kill him tomorrow. That heathen. You know? That definitely wasn't the love of God. But people have those kind of... But see, love brings something of how we can make the relationship work and how we can do it, make it better. You know, it always makes the attempt, and love should always do it. Love should always want it, like just in a relationship with two people are married. Love should be trying to fix that relationship. And you know when people aren't walking in love, when they're not interested in trying to fix it unless the other guy does this. You know, he does that, then we'll fix. But now you can get over into things, like, you know, people out committing adultery and won't quit doing that kind of stuff and doing things. There's certain things people draw lines on. Well, the Bible says if a person does it, don't as much as eat with them. See, I think a wife can turn around or a husband can turn around and say, look, you need to change or I ain't even going to eat with you. You out. The Bible talks. A person's immoral and calls himself a Christian. I think we could put an end to a lot of things. But see, these people have done it. Well, we're going to keep together and have counseling. Yeah, we're going to have counseling. But we take the scumbag, get him out the side and say, you stop this. You know, it don't say, well, you know, we're trying to quit, so we got him down to he only cheats once a week. You know, it's doing really good. Say, no, you stop, you don't do it anymore today, or you're out. You know, it's just three strikes, you're out. Once you're done, you don't do it no more. You stop it. And it's totally, we have a total different idea today about how things are done from a scriptural standpoint. We don't really believe in repentance in those things because repentance means to turn the direction of what you're doing. Now, keep doing it, just slowly turn to after a while, you know, then eventually we won't do it. Now, there's things you don't do to your mate. You just don't do, you know. See, my words, I only slapped her twice last week. I'm really a good guy now. You know? See, I believe those are the areas you use the law. They beat up a wife, you take the guy out and beat him up. I believe that's it. When a person lives under the law, you use the law on them. That's what we're supposed to be doing. No, we don't. Don't use the law. Don't use the law. Use the law. You beat up, you get beat up. That's what happens to you. I'll tell you what, I'll guarantee there's loads of people wouldn't commit crimes. If they were done to them what they did to others, they wouldn't be doing it. I'll guarantee you. That would end that stuff. They say, you know, that ain't no fun. I didn't like that too much. Well, see, it's walking over the areas of the love of God. We want to be long-suffering. We want to be kind. I want to hear something. I want to read this because this will hugely help you. One of the things is comprehending the love of God towards you because we need to understand this because you can get over the areas of love. If you don't watch it, you can get into condemnation reading about love and understanding the love of God because we look at God. It's like a guy said one time, a minister said, if you use, like say, you look at Jesus and you use him as the measuring stick of how you should be, he said, you might just live in condemnation all the time. You might just quit being a Christian. We need to be careful how we measure ourselves. There's nothing matter if you want to be Christ-like, but we need to understand the stages that we're in our development where we're trying to be perfect without the ability to walk in some things. We don't have the knowledge to walk in it. We aren't mature enough yet. There's things we want to develop into. And one of the things that, of course, if we don't understand the love of God, it is really going to affect the areas of your faith toward God. You need to have faith in God to be able to develop. You can't grow spiritually without faith. And if you don't have confidence toward God, if you look at yourself and measure yourself, and you can't, oh, man, I just can't. I just don't measure up. What happens is many people tie their faith to their works and don't realize that they do it. They'll start to, and I did it when I was a younger Christian and God had to deal with me on that, was I started measuring my faith to my works and start, my works weren't good enough, so I didn't have confidence in God. Oh, I messed up here, I messed up there. And after a while, my faith started, where I, places I was strong in faith, I was not strong anymore. I didn't have confidence. I lost that confidence. And this is where the love of God and understanding the love of God toward you. You will never do this. The Bible tells us, Paul talking about the man and the woman, you know, in using those in the context of the book of Ephesians. We, if we don't know God's love toward us, we can't know how to love others. You can't love somebody with something that you don't have. In other words, what God did toward us, His salvation toward us, is we want to express that same salvation toward others. That's what we want to do. If we don't look at God's salvation very much toward us as anything, God's after me, He has a little notebook writing everything down I did. That idea, you know what you're going to? You're going to look at, well, other people, why? That's the way, you'll think that's the way He is. And I want to do something. I have the Amplified Bible here. It's an Amplified New Testament. And this is a thing, I didn't dream this one up or get this. I was taught this, Kenneth Hagin. And this helped me when I was a young Christian. This helped me immensely. He went over to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, talks about love. You know, it's called the love chapter. And in the new, and from a, I think the Amplified does it the best of any writing of the love of love. It says how we're supposed to love. Well, I remember when I first started as a Christian, and I would get over there to the 13th chapter, and I would read through that very quickly because I'd think, oh my God, I'm not doing that. And I just, how am I ever going to do this? And how am I, you know, you get over it, I think, man, I got to walk like this. Well, what I was doing is really using the word against myself rather than for me of developing in it. And he, using his term, he said one day, Kenneth Hagin, I was listening to him teach on the areas of love, and he said this. He said, you know, the Bible says God is love. In other words, that's what He is. And I made mention about this before. We'd say God is life or God is light. And I said this to you guys. I said, you could take the word God and put it in any place where it says life or light or love, and you could put God there, and that it wouldn't, that would be, you know, because if He is that, then we could say God in replace of those things, that like we'd say, you know, God, because that's what God is. So we could put his word, like here with love, the word love is here, and in these scriptures, and I'm going to start the fourth chapter, and I want you to listen to this. I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to replace the word love with the word God. And I'm going to tell you, this is true. It has to be, because if God's love, and this is what He is, then He has to have the characteristics of this love. He must have this. So this is what He would be. And Kenneth Hagin said, if you'll start to do that, he said, read that to yourself and read it over and over again. Get it in yourself. This is how God loves you. He said it, and I remember him saying this years ago. He said, if God expects you to act differently toward people than He does, he said, then He's a fraud. He's a liar. He's asking you to do what He won't do. He said, God will never do that to you. He'll never ask you to do what He won't. He's not going to ask you to love in a way. Because I thought this love was, I would read this thing and I'd think, well, gee, when people talk about God, sure don't seem to be that way from what they say. But now listen to this. And it's beautiful, because get this into yourself. If you want to walk in the love of God, in which we do, listen to what this said. Now, starting at the fourth verse, and this is the Amplified Bible, and I'm going to use the word God instead of love. God endures long and is patient and kind. God never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. He is not boastful or vainglorious and does not display Himself haughtily. He is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. He is not rude or unmannerly and does not act unbecomingly. God does not insist on His own rights or His own way. For He is not self-seeking. He is not touchy or fretful or resentful. He takes no account of evil done to Him. He pays no attention to a suffered wrong. He does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. God bears up under anything and everything that comes. He's ever ready to believe the best of every person. His hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and He endures everything without weakening. God never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. See, it's taking that and doing that with those scriptures, getting yourself over. This is God's action. When I'm messing up, He's not out to get me. He's not out to. He's not going to do that. He's patient. He's kind. He is. He's merciful. That doesn't mean because He's these things. Now, here's where the people get the idea today is what's wrong. Because His God is so gracious and so wonderful in these ways, people think then, well, I just take advantage of it and I don't have to worry about anything. I don't try to change myself. I'm going to tell you what, that'll bring that stuff to an end quick. Judgment will come. A man's going to reap what he sows. That's also God sent. But this is the idea that we sit down and look at the fact, understand how we're loved. And this is one of the things that helps you, because you can, the people do things wrong. You can forgive them. You don't sit around holding, well, I'm never going to talk to them. I'm fed up with this. I'm not. I mean, think about the fact of Jesus talking about a brother who you went to and he wouldn't repent. It says, take him to the church. And if he still won't repent, he said, treat him as an unbeliever. Well, how do you treat as an unbeliever? Well, you walk in love toward an unbeliever. Maybe you can't fellowship with them like you do with another person, but you pray for them. Well, your whole intent is you want to get them back into repentance again and get them back into fellowship again. And that's what you want to do. But that doesn't mean, you know, that you, well, I don't like you anymore, and I can get out of here, you dirt ball. But if you love this and understand the love of God, and so... you want to walk in this. I just encourage you to take that. That helped me so much, just to sit down, because I couldn't see myself personally walking in that kind of love. I couldn't see myself. I thought, man, this is too far out there. I'd read that and I'd think, man, I can't. Well, how am I ever going to arrive at this? But I realized I couldn't arrive at this when I was looking at it as just, this is me trying to do this thing. Man, I'm going to tell you what. It isn't within human nature to do this. But it is under God's nature. We have God's nature. And realizing the nature that's in you, and this is God's love toward you. You know, we're not messing. We mess things up. He don't think about, you know, the lightning and the doing the things and about, wow, boy, I'll get you for that one. And man, I always say this. If God wanted to get you, we'd be God. You know? That'd be an easy thing to do, is to get us. But just take that and learn, get it into yourself. Many times people are trying to develop in these areas but don't see how they're loved. And if you can't see how you're loved, I'm going to tell you, you're never going to develop in the area. You can't develop into it because it's too much. It's humanly impossible for a human outside with the nature of God to be able to walk in this kind of love. You can't do it. And when you read it, your mind says tilt, you know. And just think about Jesus, all they did to him on the cross. Here he is, and he's hanging on the cross. He says, you know, God forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Say, can't you do that? Could you do that? People say, well, I don't know. You know what? Christians can do that. There's martyred Christians that have done more than these, that have gone beyond and saying other than things of that to people, and the forgiveness of people of what they're doing. You know, I read a book of a Chinese guy, a guy in China who was a Christian. Oh my God, he was tortured terrible. He was put in prison. If you read, he had a book out. I have his book. Awful, terrible things they did to that man. Holds no grudges, holds nothing. He did, well, is he just this really great, strong guy? No, it's the love of God in him. And he's just amazing. But he learned to develop in that love, and not because that's what maintained and got him through all the years of all the horrible things that he did. The love of God is what gave him the strength and the ability to be able to overcome in life. And when you think about that, and that's like with us, you know, if faith worketh by love, well then I want to develop in this nature because I don't want to be a person who holds grudges against people and things. Why? My faith's not going to work. It's going to hurt my own faith. So I want to learn how to do this. And I really found out Kenneth Hagin's wisdom in this thing. I want to tell you what, it works. Then what he had done, he had taught later on, and I heard another one because I heard another message. He's dealing on the whole subject of love, and one of the other messages dealt with this. He talked about you and I having the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And he said, when we talk about love, he said, love is our nature. It's shed abroad in our hearts. our hearts are a heart of love. It's there. Now we got to develop it. And he said, here's another way. Now you develop it for yourself. He said, take the word love and put your, just put your name, or just say I, like saying like this, I endure long and am patient and kind. I'm never envious or boil over with jealousy. Now I'm going to go down and tell you, you're going to start to read it like that and say, my God, I'm lying. I want you to understand something. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You want to develop the love in you? Start saying the right words about you and about how you deal with things. Don't call yourself, I have a hard time forgiving. I will never say that in my voice. I will never utter that. Because if I start uttering that, I'm going to have a hard time forgiving. I will not say that. I can forgive, and I can do it. Hallelujah. Boy, sometimes I struggle with it, but I will say nothing else. Because I will say I can forgive. See, people say, come and say, I can't forgive someone. And I'll say, well, of course you can't. That's impossible. I had a woman coming to me and said, I don't love my husband anymore. Well, I said, I guess not. You keep walking around and say, I don't love him. I said, I want you to do something. I said, for the next 2 or 3 weeks, don't you ever say nothing but I love my husband. Tell me when you come back after 2 or 3 weeks of saying that. I want you to know how your feelings are about your husband. The woman came back and said, you know, yeah, I see, you know, I do love him. I said, yeah. I said, love was always on the inside of you, but you shut it off by keep saying the wrong things, and you turned it off. And all you had was what you said. You know, you could love somebody you could never live with. But I don't want to, even if somebody has to separate in marriage, you don't want to separate because you don't like a person. You still want to love. You still want to love because you want to carry some weight around. Because if you don't, what happens? You go out to everybody else and complain about that person. They did this to me. They did that to me. And you know what? Next person that marries you want to get rid of you in a hurry. Because you'll be telling them how bad that was all the time. And they'll get so sick of it. Been there, seen, heard that stuff. Been there around that stuff. You don't want to do it. It's learning to do that. I told her, I said, you couldn't love him and turn around and keep saying, I don't love him, I don't love him, I don't love him. I said, the only reason you don't love him, you started thinking about not loving him, and then the worst thing that happened, one day it went from thought to mouth. And what you said has come to pass. What you're saying is happening. What you're saying, your mouth, you're believing it and saying it, start saying the right thing, start speaking the right thing. And do that. Take these things and say, I can love like that. And boy, at first, I mean, I went for weeks on end, and I would sit down and read this. I would do this every day, sometimes 3 or 4 times a day, I'd pull it out. It endures long and is patient and kind. That is faith. Hallelujah. It's but I would just keep doing it. You know, at first, I mean, it was like, you know, because you're looking for something. You're looking for, boy, is it changing yet? But you know what? Over time, but you find just over time, it would. You know, I found that over time. You know, to me, anymore, it's the easiest thing to forgive. It's easy to forgive. It is, you know why? Because I finally figured it out. It's in my nature to forgive. It is not within my nature to hold something against somebody, and it isn't in yours either. It is, a Christian is operating outside their own nature to be in unforgiveness. That's why the Bible, and we'll go as we study, we are commanded to walk in love. We're not asked to walk in love. The New Testament commands you and I to walk in love. See, a lot of people don't like laws and rules. It commands us to. Why? That's our nature. God couldn't command us to walk in something we couldn't do. That would be wrong. And like Brother Hagin said, that'd just be downright unfair for him to expect of me what I can't do or be what I'm not. I can be that. Because he's made me that. When that finally, and all this, the going through this and doing this, helped me come to that place to realize, yes, that is my nature. It always did want to forgive. I was walking in the flesh. I had never developed what was really in me and let that out. I was always suppressing that with the way I felt. I never got my feelings in line with what was really in me. I mean, there's today, there's years ago, somebody done certain things to me. I mean, you just, let's go choke them now and get this over with. Because today, I could literally look at it with compassion, feel sorry for them, saying, you know, they're doing stuff to me, and it's only going to get them. There was a guy who did a number of things to me and that stuff, and I'll tell you what, I felt better praying for the guy. And you know, I knew it was going to happen one day. He kept this stuff up. And it went over a long period of time, a number of years. I knew he was going to end up dropping dead one day over. You know why? You know Paul on the road to Damascus? Jesus showed up and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" He hadn't done nothing to Jesus. He had done it specifically to the saints. Messing with God's people is not a smart thing to do. And even a Christian messing with other Christians and doing all kind of bad stuff to them is not a good thing to be doing. That's not a good thing. And that's why I learned it just pays to walk in this. Walk in this. You know, I'm not gonna, I don't need the guy, the people that do that stuff, they don't need me throwing fuel in the fire. They got enough fire, man, going on. They have enough happening. You know, the person that holds ill will against you and doing stuff against you, man, they've dug a hole deep enough for themselves. You know? And you don't just get over there and crawling in the ditch with them and just digging this thing further. I mean, it's bad enough. It's like when you look at the thing about who's worse off in this thing? Well, it's not me. You know? I'm not going to let it get on me. So I just encourage you. Take it, find out what the love of God, what the Bible says the love of God is towards you. Learn that one, and I just encourage you, learn that first. Take that first. You don't have to start with the I thing right away. But you know, when you come to me, well, look, this is how I'm loved. This is the way God loves me, and this is the love that He's put inside of me. This is what's in there. It's shed abroad in my heart. So this is the kind of thing that's in there. And the real you, your spirit, it can do this. And it can become more powerful than what the outer man is. It become more powerful. And that's one way, as you build it and you let that inner man start to rise up. And it'll work. Because there's nothing worse. I see so many times in Christians, in the areas of teaching and the areas of love, you have to be very careful in this area because it is so contrary and so seems so demanding beyond any other way to walk. It just, and if you don't watch it, if you look at it from a perspective of human nature, you'll end up in nothing but condemnation. Well, I'll never do this. Just see yourself. You can't, and you don't want to do that. You want to look at yourself. If God is long-suffering, then He'll be long-suffering in me and my development in this, and He's going to teach me. He'll teach me to walk in this long-suffering. He'll teach me to walk in kindness. He'll teach me to be the one to forgive. He'll teach me. If that nature's in me, He'll show me how to get that what's on the inside of me and get it on the outside here where I'm doing that, where I'm walking around here and somebody does something to me, and I ain't 6 months later and laying in bed at night thinking about all those bad things that they did. You know, it has to be terrible. I mean, I know people that I've known like for years and years on end and will still come and talk about what somebody did to them 30, 40 years ago. Still bring things up. You know, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. I look at them and I just feel so sorry. I think if they're telling me that, there's probably nights I lay in bed. So-and-so did this. They did that. And this person did that. I don't want to do that. Because I'd hate to think that some poor guy's laying in bed somewhere, Ed did this and Ed did that. I say, man, don't let stupid Ed keep you awake at night. Well, is that right? It's the dumbest thing. Losing sleep over what the other guy did. You don't want to go there? See, a lot of that's going on. And like today, people's minds are blown out. People's minds. People are holding so much stuff against them. People are, you know, self-centered and instead of walking in love. And I'm going to tell you what, we look at them sometimes and people seem to be, oh, they're getting someplace in life. They have these attitudes. Man, life is miserable. There's loads of people we think, you know, they have a pretty good life. They have a terrible life. Because what you wouldn't want their minds. You wouldn't want to walk around and think the way they're thinking. You wouldn't want to go to that place. You know, I don't want a drug to have to go to sleep. I don't want to have some bad thoughts about people and I'm taking drugs so I don't. And I'm just, you know, I have a problem in life. I'm, you know, it's just running me ragged. I don't want to go there. Yet a lot of people are going there today. A lot of people are in those conditions. I don't want to be. I want to go lay down and go, solve the Z-Zone. It's a good thing to do. And whoever listens to these teachings, I mean, these are just wonderful things. These are things that I did not think of. I was taught them by Kenneth Hagin. I took them and started putting that stuff into practice and started doing that. And I want to tell you what, it did wonders for me. Absolutely changed things about stuff. And one of the biggest things that I began to notice was this, is my faith started going to higher levels. Because first of all, I can trust this God. I can trust Him. He's not out to get me. Man, if anybody's trying to help me, it's Him. He's not doing things to diminish my faith. He's doing things to bolster my faith. He wants me to trust. Because without faith, you can't please Him. But really, you without faith, you could never walk in love. It definitely requires faith to walk in love. You can't look at what the outside looks like. You can't look at what's going on, what people are saying. You can't do that. And that's the faith life. The faith don't look at the natural side of things. It's not looking what can be seen. It's looking what can be seen in the spirit realm. It could, those things that about God, the unseen God, we're believing what He said. We're believing and we're walking in that. And we can. We can actually do that. That's what being spiritual is. Spiritual, being spiritual ain't walking around going, woo. That's being spiritual. You're walking around. You're walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in love and you're following the principles of love, you're walking in the Spirit. And it sure works. The Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, that sure put an end to a lot of things for people if they would do that. So I just encourage you to take time and do that. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to thank You as we were looking here this morning. And Father, we just thank You, Lord God. There isn't nobody that I know out here doesn't need to sharpen up in this area. Hallelujah. We all do. But I just want to thank You for Your graciousness and Your kindness and mercy toward us that You've shown to us in Christ Jesus. And not just from the day that we got born again, but Lord God, that same compassion, that same mercy and kindness is showing toward us today, right now, right here. And so we thank You, Father God, that You're working in us and Your Word will help us develop. The Holy Ghost will work together with the Word of God so we can develop and grow, Lord God, in the love of God, fulfill the commandment to walk in love, Lord God, and You said we're supposed to, and I thank You, Lord God, that we will, hallelujah. And Father, we don't take credit this because of our great ability and smartness. We know it's because of Your kindness and mercy in Christ Jesus, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.